Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Sunday edition of Housing Information You Can Trust for the next 2 hours right here on AM 760 WJR. You have the Inside Outside Guys. My name is Ken Calverly, and I am the Outside Guy.
And I'm Chuck Bridenstine, the Inside Guy, and you are a lot more fun when you get some sleep. You sound peppy and passionate. God love you.
I'm always peppy and passionate. No, ask not. My wife.
You're
I'm
dreary.
Always...
You're a drag. It's like Eeyore. It's like having a ball and chain connected to my...
Why is the sun out?
Gotta have Ken on today.
What great weather we've had, though, eh?
Hey, I love it, man.
I brought it back with me. Just so you know, you're welcome.
Is that you?
That was me, yes.
Hey, I'll take it in any way, shape, or form it comes. It's been awesome, hasn't it?
It's been awesome so early. Because I have been able to get a lot done around the house in this last week. I really have. Yeah.
I told you, I never am able to mow my backyard this early in the year because it's always flooded.
Right.
And it's dry and beautiful and the grass is growing. And I put on some good rock and roll and mowed for a couple hours.
And this is the first of many, 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 many days like this. Don't let this next week. It's going to get a little bit colder, but we are on the projection up. Weather's going to be great. It's going to be a great 2023 for all of us, and we're going to get that kicked off this morning, aren't we, buddy?
We are. We're going to
really
do it a
yesterday.
Couple of ways.
I'm sorry. Yesterday
we kicked it off yesterday with a great company, and we're going to continue it today with a great company that's going to help us make sure we can enjoy outdoors.
Yes. Yeah, you're
bug-free, right?
Bug-free.
And indoors bug-free.
Yep.
We're going to be talking to Rove Pest Control. We're going to invite any of your pest or pestilence calls during the show to talk to the experts, not Ken and I. But yesterday was fun.
It was a lot of fun.
Wonderful people.
It was a lot of fun. It was close to home, too. That was nice. that was nice. It took us about 10 minutes to drive in each of us at CNL Ward up there in Davidson, Michigan. What great people and what a great product Diamond Coat Siding is.
Yeah, the Diamond Coat line of building products, but the siding that we featured, it truly is. I was telling Gary Moore that... And I meant this. I would put that on my house today.
Oh, amen.
If I was reciting my house, it is so beautiful. And CNL Ward put it on their building 10 years ago, I think, when they remodeled.
Yep.
What a great company, though. It's been a few years since we've interacted with them.
Yeah.
And it was a good reminder of they are, boy, I don't want to insult CNL Ward. They are our kind of people.
They are. You're right.
They are just good, trustworthy, caring, passionate, professional. Everything about them.
A well-run machine.
Even the food, there was no negative. The donuts were good.
Oh, Peterway Cafe, that was really good stuff. I enjoyed that. Yeah.
It was.
There's a success story, that store there, that Peterway Cafe, started off with one little store in Clarkston.
And what was it called?
Peterway Cafe.
Peterway, okay. Yep. Peterway Cafe. Is that in Davison or is it proximal?
There's one in Davison right by Myers they just built. There's one in Granville. They're building them all over the place.
Gotcha. Peterway Cafe.
They're very good. Very, very, very good. So yesterday after the show, I just went over to the Menards and grabbed 20 bags of mulch.
That's a candy store, man.
Believe it or not.
Is that all you bought?
I need 20 more.
No impulse buying?
Yeah. Yeah, I bought a couple of potty plants for my wife, tall ones she wanted to put outside. But I want to give people advice because a lot of people mulch, and this year it is very important. This early in the year, it's very important when you buy mulch. If you don't get it delivered, if you go to a big box store to pick it up,
I'm going to get it delivered.
Do your best. You're in such better shape at that point. But do your best. First thing I did when I walked in there yesterday, as I said, is the mulch been delivered recently? Because if they have stock left over from last year, there's a good chance you're going to have mold in that, in that stuff. So do your best if you're buying new mulch to make sure it's this year's mulch.
And get cypress or cedar.
Yes.
Because it'll have natural tannins in it to resist bugs nesting in and eating it.
So my wife and I yesterday afternoon, she gets home from work. She's a hardworking lady. And we put some weed barrier down. Took us some time because we have a lot of plants.
I use black plastic.
Black plastic. We put the weed barrier down. Then we put the black mulch on top of it. And my wife saw a snake, and she was done. she was done.
I don't know why I love snakes. They're so intriguing to
me. Who loves snakes?
I love bats.
You love snakes?
I just love might be too strong a word, but I really enjoy them.
Really?
Yeah. And they do eat critters. I know you don't.
I'll leave snakes alone if they're not by my front of my house. We live, as you know, on a wetland. We have a lot snakes, turtles, frogs, and everything that eats them right around our house.
Yeah.
But
you got a neat little ecosystem.
I do. And the turtles are about to take off because they'll be coming up around our yard like crazy here as they start to nest. But if it's by my front door where my wife and daughter are going to see them, no. But if they're anywhere else, I leave them alone. So
if they're by the front door, you pick them up and throw them out?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. You know what's amazing about that, Chuck, is I've done that many times, but they always come right back to the same spot. They really do. Years ago, we had this.
They're nesters.
It was a 3-foot garter snake. Thing was huge.
They're cool.
And I picked it up, and I moved it. I had no problem picking up a garter snake. I picked it up, and I moved it a ways away. It was back next day. So I went and got this snake away product. And you sprinkle it around. It smells like mint, okay? Let's say I did that on a Saturday night, on a Sunday morning.
Snake's over there eating it.
The snake shed its skin in the middle of it. It's almost like the guy that, you know, you try to give him some hot sauce, and he goes, "That's all you got?" Snake's like, "Yeah, right, hold my beer."
See you tomorrow.
Exactly. Didn't bother. Snake away stuff did not work at all.
We'll have to ask Rob Greer and J.B. Hines when we get them on here next segment.
Yeah, I agree.
From Rove, how to get rid of those. Because I've had the same issue with rabbits.
Yeah,
rabbits and snakes. I haven't tried to get rid of snakes because I don't have as many as you do. But rabbits just destroy our tulips and any. The daffodils, they don't eat.
Rabbits are edible, you know. They're very good. Not this time of year. But
my wife has actually given me permission to try to get rid of them, which I find hard to believe because our yard is like a Disney movie, you know. Cue the deer. Cue the rabbit. Honest to goodness. But she's sick of not being able to see her flowers come up.
Really? That's it? Yeah, we've had that issue in the past, especially with our hostas.
But it gets personal.
The deer love to come hosta. A couple quick notes I want to make sure we mention, everyone. The Michigan Panthers are going to be on today, the new season.
Yeah. Chuck, WJR is the flagship station for the Michigan Panthers.
When the Michigan Panthers started, it was around 1983, if people can remember back, they went out and drafted Anthony Carter, Hebert. That was an exciting team. They won the championship the first year.
Bobby Hebert.
And I'm excited to see them back. I'm excited to see them on
WJR. You going to watch it? Is it on TV?
Yeah, I'll watch it.
You know what? Football? Mark Hollis, that preceded us on WJR, former AD at Michigan State University. Yeah.
Your chest just went a little bit when you said that.
Thank you, Mark, and we appreciate a great show. It really is a good show.
Agree. Hey, stick around. We're going to be talking bugs. Anything that bugs you, anything that has
pests,
legs and critters,
mice,
and pests, mice, you name it. We got our good friends from Rove Pest Control coming up with us here after the break. In the meantime, Victor's Home Solution. You need a beautiful new bathroom in the day? How about one of the things they've always specialized in, a new roof? You know you're going to get quality. You know you're going to get honesty. You know you're going to get ethics when you call Victor's Home Solutions.
Joe's going crazy about it. He loves it. Welcome back, everybody. We do appreciate you being with us, and we're also joined by a couple other guests that we've been anxiously awaiting the opportunity to talk with. We've got Rob Greer, the chairman of operations for Rove Pest Control, and we've got J.B. Hines right here in Novi that a lot of you have met at the Novi Home Show to talk to us for the next couple hours about pests.
Yes, sir. How you doing, gentlemen?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
Good. We're doing great. Are you there, JB?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Oh, we sure can, guys.
Okay, great.
Well, tis the season, guys. I've already been driven out the other day, late at night. Mosquitoes got to me.
Did they really? Seriously?
Well, I got bit a couple times, and it was time to go in, And my first thought was, okay, I need to call Rove to get out here and spray the property. So let's start with that, guy. Let's talk about mosquito control here in southeast Michigan, because we have gotten a lot of rain. And that's something. Tell people about your mosquito control and what you guys do with that.
Anyone first?
Yeah. Okay. I didn't know if Ralph was going to pipe up or not. We definitely do the mosquito control. We come out on a monthly service, and we spray your property. Your trees and your bushes, your surrounding area, about 50 feet out from your sitting area, so your back porch, your front porch, and try to help control those little biters. Of course, you know, if you get your neighbors to join in, it puts a little bigger barrier out there to help you guys out. So,
how does that work? Because realistically, we haven't had the water where they supposedly nest, the standing water, yet. We certainly will. Is it still effective if you spray it on dry grass?
Yeah, definitely. Because, you know, these guys will definitely be hiding in certain areas, maybe even places you don't even know there's water. So you got tree holes, ruts, and underground. So there's different areas that they kind of nest in, even during the winter months. So they lay their eggs in the fall and in the springtime when we get all this nice warm weather that we've been searching for a while, they emerge, and here they come. And so we get those places that aren't usually the culprit. So
got it. I'm going to apologize. Go ahead.
Yeah, another thing that's going to be a big piece this year that we're seeing is the floodwater mosquitoes. So there's different areas where it's a different type of mosquito, but they'll lay their eggs, and they can sit dormant for beyond the scope of a year. And when water levels are low, they don't hatch, and you just have that section of the mosquito population that doesn't even come into play. But with the water table and with the levels of melt off and everything we've had, all of those are going to be adding to the flow this year. So,
gotcha. And I was going to say, I apologize. I jump a little ahead real quick because I want to make sure we talk about Rove Pest Control, because you've been in business 19 years. You're newer to this area over the last couple of years. Could you guys talk about Rove Pest Control for a second? How you started, when you came to the Detroit area, all the services you guys provide?
Yeah, we started in Minnesota. We're a fan of being up in the Great Lakes region, and started just by talking to that first person in the neighborhood just down the road from where I moved in there, and expanded from there. That was back in 2006. In 2017, we opened up in Novi and started talking to people out there, getting the word out, helping a few people out, and you do a good job, and it spreads quickly. So we started with just general pest control, structural things with insects, rodents, and then over time we added on some specialty services like bed bugs and mosquito, and have gone from there.
Well, we're definitely going to be talking about bed bugs more later.
Yeah, absolutely. You use the term arachnids, but let's be honest, spiders. People hate spiders. Do you guys deal with them?
We do. Interestingly, I just the other day was going to take a shower and looked up and saw one hanging out above my head, which doesn't bother me so much. But I was thinking about how that would have impacted one of my kids or even my wife if she had been the one to see that. So, arachnid control is interesting. There's a lot of different things that we can do besides just treating directly for them. Some of that is just removing their food source. If there's other insects that are building up a good population, that's it can be kind of a big smorgasbord for them to go and feed on. In other situations, it can be just changing the light and helping people adjust the type of light that they're using, even window treatments and what's going to allow some of that light pollution to go out and then draw in some of the flying bugs that spiders are going to be going after. And we always include, you know, web removal just because that's always a nice little perk to have the home look good and not look like you're getting ready for Halloween in the middle of summer.
Should we be in our area afraid of spiders? Is there a spider in our area, and I mean the Midwest, that can truly hurt us?
Oh, that's always an interesting question. The most spiders, I mean, you think about it, like we're not going to run up and bite a gorilla on the back because we just realize it's bigger and it's going to hurt us. So a spider, same thing, like they don't have enough venom to liquefy our innards and eat us. So the only way they're going to bite us is if they get cornered and, you know, maybe they're in a shoe and you stuck your toe in, or they're in a part of your closet you never go into and then you're reaching your hand back in there. And, you know, in a defensive situation, they might bite. Then we don't have anything like the brown recluse that is native there. They can get imported in rare circumstances. You have the northern widow, which has enough to impact people with compromised health or immune systems. But, you know, for the most part, it's just the fear factor. The other thing that can play in is you can have spiders that are carrying something like staph, and if they do happen to bite you, I think there's a higher risk from secondary infection more than there is venom hurting somebody.
I'm curious when we come back from break about the daddy long legs too, because there's all kinds of myths out there about that. So when we come back, if you guys could address that real quickly.
Yeah.
Yep. JB, you want to take that?
We'll talk about the health effects as well when we get back with more from Rove Pest Control. In the meantime, if you need an electrician, need a standby generator, you need some new plugs, new outlets, new switches, a new ceiling fan, which every home should have, you want to call our good friends at Lake Point Electric.
Welcome back, guys. We appreciate you being with us, all of our listeners, and, of course, Rob Greer and J.B. Hines from Rove Pest Control, rovepestcontrol.com, for all of you listeners that are going to take advantage of the great advice these guys are going to give us. And, of course, the phone number is 248-671-6696. And you're going to find out these guys are passionate about bugs. JB brings samples of live cockroaches to the Novi Home Show. Rob posts videos that I watched 2 and 3 times because he's so passionate. But we asked you guys about daddy long legs. People are scared to death of them, and there's myths out there in the culture that they can hurt you. True? Not true?
Definitely myth. They have such small mouth parts that they can't get a grip on our skin to bite us. Their body looks much bigger than it is to us because their legs are 4 times as long as their body. And it covers a whole array. There's thousands of species within that group, but a lot of them are just really harmless cellar spiders that are just wanting to feed on really small moisture feeder insects. So yeah, if you see your kid over there doing the whole pull a leg off and see if they can still walk. You don't have to worry about them getting bit. It's not going to happen, but they still can bug people.
I've grabbed so many daddy long legs by the legs and just fling them, grab their legs, fling them away because they're annoying me. So now is there whether it's a daddy long leg or a certain kind of spider, if we see it around our house, does that give us any indication of any other problems we may be having when it comes to other bugs?
Yeah, most of the time when I start just with the general question of seeing spiders, especially the long-legged ones, those are going to be indicators of moisture. It's not 100% of the time, but you're probably talking 70% of the time. That's indicating that moisture is collecting somewhere. It could be high humidity inside the home, or it could be something that's pulling back behind the wall, just even a slow drip, because you'll get things like springtails that'll feed on there, or small fungus gnats, anything like that. And then that's what those spiders are going to be feeding on. Yeah, your number one indicator is that you have a water issue to address. And this can be really small, so it's not like a whole basement would be flooding. But then also you'll have indicators of light pollution that can change. And, you know, really, if it's coming to that light, it's what insects are being attracted to that light, and you could address those insects directly as well. But yeah, spiders only thrive if there's a lot for them to feed on, and they're just not efficient enough at controlling the other bugs to be our primary source of killing them.
So if I have a lot of spiders, they may not hurt me, but they're indicative of other problems, and I want to give Rove Pest Control a call to come out and spray. Totally get that. Let's talk about health effects. JB, I saw you recently, and I asked about the bed bug. I don't know if I want to say pandemic, but I believe it was a pandemic at one time. Talk about some of the health effects when it comes to bed bug, ticks, rodents, and stuff like that, please.
Well, you know, bed bugs don't technically spread disease at all. They're just there just to
eat our blood for some odd reason. So I always call them, like, to make it so people understand exactly what kind of what they're dealing with. You know, it's like mosquitoes without wings. The only problem is, or the only difference is, that they don't spread disease like your mosquito could. So, yeah, bed bugs are still a problem. I think we're ranked this year like number 6 in the country, according to some of the studies out there for the past year. They do every year they do something to rank the cities in the state in the U.S.
And I know when you say sixth, JB, do you mean the metro area?
Yeah, Metro Detroit area, Detroit, Metro Detroit area. So, yeah, we're up there. So definitely, you know, it's something that people get embarrassed about because they think it's dirty. You know, oh, my gosh, we're dirty. That's why we have these things. It's not true. Like, I've been to $1.5 million homes with maids that have bed bugs, and I've been to $5,000 homes that have bed bugs. And so it doesn't really matter as long as there's a host. So they're gonna have some fun and live in your home and eat until you get them eradicated, get them out of there. So we're definitely that company that would love to do that. And I love bed bugs. So
I got to tell you, I love bed bugs. Something's wrong there, JV.
God bless you.
I know.
I don't think
sorry.
People understand how devastating bed bugs can be to their lives. And here's me, and here's my kids. I just went on vacation with my brother-in-law and sister recently, and they thought I was crazy because Chuck and I have talked about this a lot over the years. I don't let my clothes go on the floor. As soon as I got home, I didn't let anything come in my house until I washed it first. I just finished the last load the other
day. Hot water, hot dry.
Hot water, hot dryer, because we were in Florida, where a lot of people from all over the world come. And we stayed in a really beautiful place, but you said it. We heard the Waldorf Astoria. Is that Waldorf, thank you. In New York, one of the most expensive hotels in the world had bed bugs. It has nothing to do with how dirty you are. Go ahead.
Right, it doesn't really matter. And you're absolutely correct. When you go on vacations or you're just doing overnight stays in the hotels, it's something that I know I do with my family too. It's like, we don't go in the room and we don't put anything down until we check the mattresses, check that headboard, check that painting that's on the wall. That
How
doesn't
do you
come
check?
Off.
What are you looking for?
We're looking for spots, like looking for evidence of a bed bug. And it's like if you took a black ink pen and broke it open and splattered it, and you get those little black dots everywhere, that's what you're kind of looking for. Either you look for those dots or you actually see the bug itself. So none of my stuff ever goes onto a bed. You know, I don't put my suitcase on the other bed that's not being used. My stuff stays in the bathroom. And I carry a garbage bag with me, so all my dirty clothes go into that garbage bag, so it's protected. There's just little tips and tricks that definitely could share with you guys or with potential customers to help them along the way.
I tell a story of
some
a trip
good
I was
reference
taking...
points for looking for what you're looking for. A lot of people might think that a bed bug is microscopic, but it's about the size and shape of a watermelon seed. It can be anywhere from brown to red or even a blackish color. And then like JB was describing, the fecal flakes, if you just imagine sprinkling pepper in crevices, that's pretty much what it would look like. And you all hit it right on. Even though they don't carry diseases, one of the things that they really impact is our sleep. It is really hard to get a good night's sleep if you know you're a feast for something else while you're trying to sleep. And they're doing a lot of studies right now on the health implications of interrupted sleep. And I think that is probably the biggest concern with those bed bugs, is how that impacts the rest of life and your stress levels and performance.
I bet. I would sleep outside.
Yeah, definitely your brain.
Well, I tell the story years ago. I was going through Nebraska towards a hunting trip. We stopped at a hotel. While the rest of the guys were out getting the luggage, I went in, turned light, went right to the bed, pulled the covers back, saw a couple of dots, and just took my finger and tapped them. And then he scurried behind and I swear, it looked like someone was holding a gun to me because I put my hands up in the air, backed out of that hotel, told the guys, do not bring this stuff in. And we not only did not stay at that hotel, we didn't stay at that exit. We got on the exit, went to another exit. And I think we probably saved ourselves a lot of headache and stress over that. So that's great advice, guys. What about the health impact of mosquitoes? Is there something that we really should be concerned about there, especially here in the Midwest?
Yeah, definitely. There, I mean, most people probably remember the big spike in awareness on mosquito diseases when Zika was really hitting the news and really prevalent. But there are so many other things. You know, we don't really have issues with malaria here, but when you look at chikungunya virus, dengue, malaria, West Nile, there's a host that they carry, and they typically pick them up from birds that they feed on. It's the multi-feeder mosquitoes where they just, they're the quick ones that get you before you even realize you've been bit. And it's because they're multi-feeding that they'll transmit those diseases from one host to another. And yeah, it really, we're far too comfortable with mosquitoes compared to other pests.
Interesting. How about ticks?
Ticks, I think the most interesting one, if people have been paying attention to the news, it's a relatively recent development, but they can have people develop an allergy to red meat. And so for those of us that like to consume those kind of things, that would be the biggest fear. But you have other very serious ones like Lyme disease that can hang on for people for years. It's very difficult to diagnose. You get situations where people either don't have the telltale signs like that bullseye rash, or it'll be hidden somewhere where it's covered up by head hair and it's just really hard to notice. And, you know, for as hard as it is to just even notice a tick, yeah, it can affect people just for long periods of time. And even after treatment, that one can hang on pretty long. But in addition to that, you've got babesiosis, Rocky Mountain spotted fever, anaplasmosis, and a whole bunch of others that can come from them. So keeping tick populations down is a huge win for the public health sector.
Wow. Wow, you guys have a great page at rovepestcontrol.com, Rove Pest Control in Michigan. And we want people to check this out because it basically tells you how to take, you know, take advantage of not getting these things yet. Look for harbors. Look where they stay. Look for the travel lines. You have whole lists. Look for their food stores. Look for access points. So listeners who are out there right now and want to know how to eliminate or not let these things in your house, there's a great list of things you can do right here at rovepestcontrol.com. Stick around, everybody. We're going to have more with Rove Pest Control coming up after the break.
Speaking of things getting in your house, how about water and the heavy spring rains that we had last week at the beginning of the week, and then we're sure to have as we move forward? We've got a solution for you in a company called Foundation Solutions 360. Welcome back. We appreciate you being with us. And from Rove Pest Control, rovepestcontrol.com, we've got Rob Greer, the chief cook and bottle washer, and we've got our local contact, J.B. Hines. Guys, thanks for being with us. We really appreciate your time. Can we invite callers if they have questions to ask you guys?
For sure.
Cool.
Couple numbers, 888-654-GUYS, which equals 888-654-4897. Of course, to 800-859-0WJR as well. So just a second ago, I got up to go to the bathroom, and I saw a earwig on the ground, and I stomped on it. So talk about real life. Earwigs, any danger there? What do earwigs tell you if you have them in your house?
Earwigs have the wonderful lore of crawling inside people's ears and laying eggs or doing damage in there. I do love your stomp method approach for them. I think that's totally appropriate for their ugliness. They're not doing anything to us personally. You know, it is just a myth. They are after decaying material. So most people that are going to be seeing those right now probably have some leaves or plant material that kind of got trapped in one area and is just rotting and decaying, and that's most likely where you're going to find that nesting coming from. And especially when people get in and start cleaning up the yard, if there was a nest of earwigs, when that lawnmower goes across their prior harborage or they rake up the leaves that got trapped in the snow before they got a chance to get to them, those earwigs are going to be looking for shelter, and so they're going to move into the home.
What do they look like?
Be nice and comfortable. Long and slender with a pincher on the back.
Yeah, they look kind of creepy, but
everybody can visualize that. Everybody's seen it. How about mice, rats potentially, bees, wasps?
Let me add to that, because JB, rats have really become an issue lately here in Southeast Michigan.
All
have
the
they
construction
not?
Construction stirring it up.
Oh yeah, with all the construction, the road construction, all the drainage pipes that they've been replacing, gas lines that they've been installing in some of these underground areas. Yeah, they definitely stir them up and move them out. So they carry a vast amount of different types of diseases. I mean, there's probably a list of 35 to 40 of them, and I'm sure Rob knows every single one of them. But they, you know, you definitely don't want them in your home or even around your property. They cause damage to your property, and they can chew right through drywall and other things to get into your home for that safe living conditions. So definitely something that you don't want. Same with mice. Mice are the same way. I mean, they carry tons of different diseases that we definitely don't want to be exposed to. So definitely, you know, trying to keep those out is can be easy, although it can be tough depending on how bad the situation is there. So
before we went to break last segment, I mentioned that Rove Pest Control, the page you had that talks about, I mean, if people follow the advice you have just on this page, I think they're going to greatly eliminate by 90% their chances. I mean, just as far as having piles of debris in your house, if you got a pile of debris, whether it be, and we always talk about never, if you have a wood burning fireplace or stove, never stack that next to the house. But if you can eliminate that, and trees over
like
the house,
what,
travel
like cardboard
lanes,
boxes on the basement floor.
Yeah, because they're going to if they're right next to your house, they're going to make their way into your house. Gotcha. So tell people how important that is, that they're just clean on the outside.
Yeah, sanitation is key. I mean, sanitation inside and outside can help eliminate a whole host of different kind of insects. So if you do have a wood-burning stove, you don't want that, like you said, you don't want that wood pile or your wood stack right next to that back door so it's easy access for you. You know, move it out into the yard, you know, 10, 15 yards out. You know, keep it covered, keep it off the ground just to help keep that, you know, minimize the insects or rodents that might want to harbor in there. So, it's definitely just – and then keeping those bushes trimmed, your grass cut, you know, you don't want that too long. You don't want your bushes overgrown, touching the house. You know, you got to have barriers. You got to have, you know, sanitation. That's key. So.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense, especially around your trash and your trash area. You don't keep that area clean. Ugh.
We mentioned wasps and bees. I see the wasps are building nests this time of year. What can we do to control
them? Definitely starting. I don't know about out in Minnesota. I don't know if you guys still have snow on the ground out there because it is April.
They're still driving snowmobiles.
Oh, thanks. That means we'll get it next.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, we're sending it your way happily.
I actually just started a home Friday, down in, I don't even know where I was, Taylor area. And she had a host of bees flying around already going into her siding and into her soffits. So, they're definitely out there. They're exploring. They're looking for a place to build a nest. So getting on top of it before they actually start will help. But if they already started building that nest, you know, knocking it down and keeping it clean will help deter, or you can just call us.
Call us is a good advice. Are termites an issue in Michigan at all?
My next question.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's okay.
Yeah, there are some termites out there. I don't think, you know, we're definitely way above the high severity or even moderate severity line. It kind of runs from south to north, and we're several hours drive north of where termites are a big concern. They can be an issue, especially if you're, you know, dealing with untreated lumber. Maybe you're bringing stuff up from the south. You know, people that might take a trip down there and buy something that can definitely transport them. There's lots of agricultural termites that just help break stuff down out in the wooded areas, and some that don't even eat wood, and they just help with, you know, other decaying plant matter. But there are some subterranean termites, and you'll get situations where maybe a tree fell, some termites really get a big population, and then as the tree gets cleared or they eat it, you'll get some alates that are flying off, and people will see those, and that's a good time to have an inspection and see if they're in the home or just flying and looking for something. But yeah, they can pop up from time to time, but not a major concern.
Besides termites and carpenter ants, are there anything out there that could actually harm our structures that we live in?
Yeah, you have several different, I mean, you've got acrobat ants that are going to be like carpenter ants, where they're softwood. They're going to be mining that to create galleries. So they're really secondary damagers. The fungus and the moisture softening the wood are going to be the primary ones, but they definitely do not help that situation. The next thing that you're going to look at are things like carpenter bees, which will burrow straight into the wood. So, and we do have some other wood-boring beetles. For the most part, they're not going to be an issue in treated wood, but periodically we'll get things like powder post beetles, or in some older homes, like the old house borer will pop up. So there's a few.
I want to make sure everyone listening, if they need any help with any of the critters, the creatures that we're talking about, the phone number is 248-671-6696. The website is rovepestcontrol.com, and they have a Novi location here to help all of Southeast Michigan. Stick around. We're going to continue talking about critters and bugs and things that could harm you and how to make sure they don't, with more from the Inside Outside Guys over the next hour.
And if you have the right company do your back deck, they're not going to put untreated material for the structure. They're going to use treated material and a product on the walking surface that will not attract any bugs. And, of course, we're talking about Decks Unlimited.
With over 85 years of combined housing experience, the Inside Outside Guys need to be your one-stop source from any and all of your housing needs. Whether you're building a brand new mansion or you just need some advice, go to theinsideoutsideguys.com 24/7 and ask your questions. But now, during the show every Saturday and Sunday morning, we will take your phone calls at 888-654-GUYS, which equals 888-654-4897.
And we've got somebody on the line, Rob and JB, that have a question regarding, everybody, stink bugs. Is that something you can handle? We've got Holly.
Hi, Holly. You there?
Or TJ from Holly. I'm sorry.
TJ. Apologies.
My mistake.
Yeah. Yeah. I've got a two-story house. Don't have a problem with them anywhere, any of the other rooms in the house, but my upstairs bathroom, I'll kill anywhere from maybe 8 to 12 stink bugs every single morning.
That sounds incredibly annoying.
It does.
Yeah, stink bugs are interesting. They're oriented like Asian beetles in just their orientation to a home. So when they leave the crops that they're feeding on, they'll go up and fly straight. And when they hit a home, instead of going down, they crawl up. And for anybody that has siding or, you know, most construction, it layers to have water fall down and run under, but it leaves space for them to go up. And they'll get into the wall voids where it's nice and warm, protected from the elements, and they'll follow that ductwork and the plumbing, which is going to lead them right to that bathroom. So what you're seeing are the stink bugs that are going out looking for something to feed on. They're not going to live for a long time, but they can go into that period of diapause for months and months and just have that continual flow. So the best thing that you can do for them is to have an application done to the exterior of the home in the fall before they fly in so that they don't get a chance to get in there. But beyond that, once they're already in, we can do a wall void treatment. So it'll get a product back into where they're nesting and trafficking out of, and we can do a crack and crevice treatment in there to help eliminate those.
Wow, I love hearing that because we get so many emails about that. We all see them. They're terribly annoying. So when you do those treatments, will they also treat other critters, insects, arachnoids?
Yeah, luckily the treatment for those annoying stink bugs is the same recipe for about 1,000 other pests. So that's going to cover pretty much everything that's not a specialty pest. If it's affecting the structure, it'll take care of those unless it's a termite or something like a mosquito flying outside. But yeah.
How about those little gnats that everybody gets around their sinks throughout the good weather?
Yeah, there's a couple different sources of those. One of them, if you have hackberry trees, there's a small fly called a hackberry psyllid that'll fly in, and they're smaller than most screen mesh, and so they're able to just get right into the home. And a lot of people have light that attracts them that's right above those sink areas. You can also have fungus gnats or other things that'll develop in potted plants that are nearby, and they'll just be drawn to that water area, so they'll seem like they're coming from the sink. And then you can have the situation where you're dealing with either fruit flies or forward flies that can be coming up from drains or cracks in drainage sewer, that type of thing. So it really comes down to identifying which type of fly you're dealing with. Gnats are just such a giant coverall, but it makes a big difference if we're going after a break in sewage line versus fungus in potted plants versus accumulating organic debris in a garbage disposal. All of those are going to be different sources to treat, but we have some really cool things where you can put a bioenzyme down the drains if that's where they're coming from, and it'll consume that stuff and get rid of it so they don't have a breeding source.
Wow. Do you have black flies up where you're at now?
Yes. Those come from running water.
Okay.
And those need to be treated by the city because there's a bacteria that you can put into the water that will stop them from being able to develop. But some of these years where you have just a really quick warm up or things really drag out long, it can mess with the city schedules trying to get everything treated. And so there's last year in a couple of our markets, they were pretty bad. And so we went out and we dealt with them like we do mosquitoes. We can't really address the source because they're flying in off of a, you know, running creek or river. But, you know, once they're there, once they land, they'll die.
Is that the same thing as what we call a small biting fly?
I would assume most people would call it that. There's probably 10 to 15 biting flies that affect the suburbs in the Detroit area, and could be anything from a black fly to a horse fly or a deer fly or anything in that vein.
Wow, this is interesting stuff you're telling us.
It truly is. Ken and I are trying to take notes. How about ants? We talked a little bit yesterday about ants.
Yeah, ants can drive people just about crazy. The interesting thing about them is you're only seeing it's a tip of the iceberg type deal. The bulk of the colony is going to be down taking care of the queen, the eggs, you know, harvesting things to bring back is part of what you're seeing going out there. But essentially what you get is ants will send out scouts that'll look for a food source, and they may be looking for something that they'll find as far as food inside the home, or they might be finding a source of aphids that they can mine for the sweet nectar that they release, which could be in plants right around the edge of the home. Carpenter ants, for example, they're really cool. They'll set up guards that'll stop aphids from flying off. And they essentially make little
really cool
slave colonies. Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I love hearing you guys talk. You guys are so cool.
When it comes to ants, it's just a matter of figuring out which ant it is, where it's coming from. You know, if it's a field ant, we're going to use a certain bait, whereas carpenter ants are going to need a whole different treatment. And then you've got the pavement ants that are going to create the mounds that everybody's familiar with. You'll have like 10 in a row in the cracks in the driveway. And, you know, the Allegheny ant is going to have the larger mounds out in the yard. So find them, get the right treatment for them, and that's how you solve them.
Well, any questions? 888-654-GUYS equals 888-654-4897. We'll be back after this message talking about more things that bug you.
Absolutely. One thing that might bug you if you're my age is getting in and out of that old slippery bathtub and risking a fall. Why not tear it out and have a 1 or 2 day shower replacement that's either low curb or a roll in? And of course, the company that can do that for you expertly, professionally, and beautifully is Atlas Home Improvement.
So you need to figure out what's bugging you. And when you figure that out, make sure you tell all your friends right now to tune into the show. Right now we have Rob Greer and J.B. Hines from Rove, R-O-V-E, Pest Control, talking about all those bugs out there that get on our nerves all summer long. And because we had an early spring, nice weather, they may be doing it a little bit sooner.
So J.B. and Rob, couple things. People are concerned about using pesticides and about having a company like Rove come in and spray stuff around the inside and outside of their home. They're concerned about pets, children. Can you address that issue?
We do have stuff here that is like the green leaf products. So if they are really concerned about some of the pesticides that are in some of the other products that we use, we can always, you know, gear that for them. So not really much harm can be done to them, even with the pesticides that we use. We're not spraying your dog. We're not spraying your kids or your husband or your wife. You know, we're treating those cracks and crevices, the exterior. And once it's dry, it's perfectly safe for everybody. But I know people have concerns over it. So we do carry a product that will help with those concerns. You know, it's a natural product. That can, you know, it's green leaf approved.
I think a lot of people that have concerns grew up in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, and they saw, Chuck raises his hands, saw all the harm those past pesticides did to our environment, and we are not even close to that with the R&D that's been out there over the years. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, things have really progressed a long way, and one of the scary things is just when people take things into their own hands because they don't understand how those chemicals are going to interact with the environment, with different situations. And so having a professional handle that application is going to remove that concern for most people, so they're not having to do the guesswork. Secondly, on that, when we're doing control for anything, we're looking at source and trying to adjust environment and use pesticides as just the last measure on top of it once we remove the main cause of it. So that's going to make a big difference in helping just the health of the environment on its own, help balance everything out. And then the other thing that people have to consider is the health impact. So if you're trying to avoid making some kind of application or alteration to the environment, but that's allowing pests that carry disease that are either going to affect you, your pets, your kids, or even just some of the wildlife around the home, that's going to have a much more significant harmful impact on the environment than fixing the issue that's developing.
Makes great sense.
I love that. So if someone's going to call Rove, what kind of information should they have in their hand to pass on to you? And what's the process that you guys will initiate?
We try and make it as simple as possible. So as long as you know more or less what you're seeing, and just a very simple description can be good enough. If we can deduce from that that we're dealing with an insect or an arachnid or a rodent, we can start to ask the questions that we need to you know, figure out the solution there. Most of our individuals on the phone, they're really good at either just walking through with questions, or they can hop on a Zoom or a FaceTime connection with you to look at what you're seeing if it's just too much to try and to describe it. Outside of that, it's just going to be figuring out your schedule and when we can get out there and get access to what we need to. Most of the questions we're going to have are going to have to do with the type of home that we're looking at, the type of construction, surrounding areas around your home. We're basically looking for things that are conducive to the situation you're dealing with. The really cool thing is, you know, we get a lot of people that just barely move into a neighborhood or really have absolutely no idea how to describe something. Maybe they moved in from a different country and have a language barrier. With the history that we have with most of the neighborhoods in the suburbs, we can look up through our database and see what's around you and see what we're treating for in other areas, and that'll usually clue us in as to what needs done.
You mentioned earlier about the surrounding areas. If I have a bad problem, whether it be ticks, whatever it be outside, should I talk to my neighbors? Does it make sense to talk to my neighbors? Is there a volume discount? HOAs, will you guys come out and do whole subdivisions or condo complexes? Do you guys deal with that kind of stuff very often? Because a lot of those people are listening right now.
Yeah, HOAs are great. Those are cool because we can look at group efforts, and instead of just being pigeonholed into a really small geographic area, we can put together larger solutions. And I know they're usually under budget constraints. So if people on the board will just sit down with us and help identify their primary concerns, we can come up with some kind of solution that'll address the neighborhood concern as a whole. And then if people want, you know, within that HOA want to add more on top of it, then we can definitely, you know, have a personal account that they can have a little more service to fit their needs as well. As far as regular neighborhoods go, we love to work in groups. Some of the best control efforts we've had is where people got together and you got, you know, 7 out of 10 people addressing the same issue, and we can give a good discount to everyone on that. We have a good referral program where you can get a free service, and then whoever you're referring to us will get their first service free, just so that we can try and get that momentum going and have more on the same side of that battle against the pest.
We had a listener that said they found, or they had an expert find, several wasp nests in exhaust ducts. Is that common? Is that something Rove could help with?
Yeah, very common. They love voids, and the more voids that we can provide them, that's just a nice starting structure for them to go after. Also, you get that warm, moist air coming out, and that'll draw other pests in. And so wasps and yellow jackets, they're predatory just like a spider is. So they're going to go hang out where they can be close to a food source. They want some good shelter that's going to stop the rain from busting up their paper mache creations. Yeah, we do a lot of removal from there, behind siding, all that fun stuff.
JB, here in Southeast Michigan, what is the number one bee that you have to worry about, number one stinger out there?
Well, I know the one that I don't like, but I do like to battle it, would be your bald-faced hornet. They make those huge, giant nests in trees usually, and they're black and white, and they are very nasty, so I wouldn't recommend a homeowner going after those things. Definitely call an expert like myself, and I'll come out there and take care of that for you.
While we're on the subject of flying, stinging things, when we get back from break, let's talk about honeybees and how to make sure Rove Pest Control will make them safe and no harm comes to them.
A company we love that will treat your house like their own and fix any foundation issues you have, whether crawl space or basement, is Foundation Authority. Ken and Chuck and Rob Greer and J.B. Hines from Rove Pest Solutions. This is fun.
Pest Control.
Pest Control. Yes. I'm sorry.
It's okay. It's okay. R-O-V-E, Pest Control. And before we went to break, Rob, tell me if this is true, because I'm 90% sure it is. Our lives depend on the honeybee. Is that fair to say?
Wow.
And how does Rove Pest Control make sure when they go out to treat someone's yard, they do not mess with someone or an insect that directly affects our life?
Wonderful question. Yeah, honeybees and all other pollinators have a really big role to play in the development of agriculture and the well-being of the plants that keep feeding us air that we need. So, yeah, really good to keep those in mind. Really, the safe and proper application of any control methods, also keeping the balance in that ecosystem so that we don't have a big host of predators or things that can damage honeybees. You know, those are going to be really key elements. We've ran a lot of fun experiments with people who were in situations with pretty good pest levels building up. And as we've been able to reduce those pests and do it in a responsible manner, being cognizant of how that could impact the pests that we don't want to target, we've seen those pollinators flourish and just have record numbers of them doing really well in yards and those flower bed areas where they want them pollinating and doing their thing.
That makes a ton of sense. So do any of the chemicals that you guys would use, and I hate to even use the word chemicals being a child of the 60s,
right,
will negatively affect birds?
If applied incorrectly, I think anything of that nature, even some of them that there's some that we can eat. There's a product that you can apply to food, interestingly enough, but if you were to apply that to a bird's food, that's going to be negative for them. So especially, I think the biggest thing with birds is making sure that you're not putting out granules or baits that they can pick up and consume correctly or directly. And so applying them correctly is going to keep that out of range for them. But then also you have secondary measures. So some of your birds of prey that are feeding on voles, mice, et cetera, you want to make sure that you're using a bait that doesn't have a high toxicity and isn't going to transfer to that bird after they eat something for a little snack.
That makes perfect sense.
That does make perfect sense. I hadn't thought of that.
Now, some of the critters that we have around our house, is it too late by the time we notice them, whether it's bed bugs or certain kind of stinging bees? I'm sure there are a lot that are there that we don't even see that could be harmful for us. What are some of those?
By the time you're seeing them, a lot of people feel like they're in that situation where it's too late, just burn the house down and start over. ideally, we're going to be jumping ahead of that. And we work with, whether it's residential or commercial, we work with our clients to put together plans that stay ahead of the pests of the season so that they're not having to deal with those. Outside of that, when they do show up, don't put it off. You know, don't get into that denial mode or just think it's going to go away on its own. Even if you're not sure, the best thing to do is have us out for a free inspection. We'll tell you what you're dealing with, what the possible trajectories are if it's left untreated, and the best way to go about solving it. And
so,
that's equally, yeah, go ahead.
I was just curious then, based on listening to you, do you recommend a program like from now through the fall?
Yeah, I think that's the best way to go. We have a treatment for each season. So, you know, as we right now with springtime, it's a really good time to get a product down for ants before they get a chance to build up their populations. We've been talking about wasps that are coming out. The queen survived the winter and they're going to be rebuilding nests. We want to get ahead of them before they build up their nests. You know, each season has its quirky pests that need addressed. And by having a program in place, you know, if anything does pop up in between our fairly infrequent visits, you know, just once a quarter, we'll go back out for free and take care of whatever popped up. So it's a really good investment just to take it off your plate. There's so many other things that people can worry about and focus on. This doesn't need to be one of them.
That's a great point. Rob Greer, here in Southeast Michigan, I guess probably everywhere around the country, we see all sorts of commercials of people that can just go to a local hardware store, buy something off the shelf, spray it, and they act like it's going to be okay. And I got a feeling that you're going to tell me they're probably doing more harm than good. Can you talk about that for a minute?
Yeah, that's actually one of my odd hobbies is I'll go hang out at some of the hardware stores and just trying to help people that are selecting products, because they're almost always looking, you know, you have your big label trying to draw your attention, and it's really hard for people to understand which one they should pick or how they should apply it. And you get into a lot of kind of scary situations. I've been in some where people are applying things that are only supposed to be used outside to the inside of their home, which, you know, that's going to have fumes or long-term implications that they're probably not even aware of. In situations with bed bugs, some people have applied things directly to the bed that should never come in contact with a person. And right. Yeah, you just don't want to get into that. So there is
scary.
It really is.
So you're saying home pest control is not a DIY project?
It shouldn't be.
I agree.
Maybe way back in the day, you know, the price to get a home treated is so low compared to what you're going to be spending on product. And, you know, people need to consider their time. They're better off developing relationships with friends and family, focusing on their work, building something. I don't know, anything besides the few bucks that they're trying to save by, you know, getting into some scientific elements that really have a lot of technology that's there that didn't used to be.
But not just their time, their health, their family's health. I think that's so important.
How many times in 20 years ago could you smell pesticides when they were put? It's like, boy, I'm ingesting that. Yuck.
Right. I agree with you.
Scary.
I agree with you.
Or herbicides. So how about warranty? Would a company like Rove have a warranty?
Yeah, we guarantee our work. It will vary a little bit from pest to pest, but we're always really clear to walk through how that works for each one. Most pests that we treat, we have a full service guarantee. So if anything pops up, we cover the cost of treatment for free. We'll come out as many times as needed. We've had some situations where, you know, a really good example is people have just a defensive rodent control up, and then they'll start a development across the street or in the field behind them, and they're going to stir up a ton of activity. That's not that homeowner's fault. It's technically not ours either, but we'll cover it because they're covered under our guarantee.
Yeah, I had a gentleman a couple of years ago that he's still one of our customers, and a great guy up in Waterford, and he had a rat infestation, and we went out there, did everything that we needed to do to get the program going, and I think I visited his house probably every 2 weeks for a good 2 months, it felt like, until we definitely got it under control. But that's just part of the stuff that we have to do to make sure that you guys are comfortable and live pest free. So
yeah, and I want people to hear that, because this is a an industry where you guys you just can't warranty something, but you do. So let's talk about bed bugs. Whatever warranty you put on there, people go out, they get bed bugs somewhere else, they bring it back to their house. That's not your fault. I assume that kind of stuff has to happen all the time.
Yeah, unfortunately, with bed bugs, it does. Go ahead, JB. You've got this one.
I was just going to say, bed bugs is a tough one sometimes because of the prep work that needs to be done and then the aftercare work. And I stress that a lot when I go out and meet with these customers that have those problems. It's like that's what needs to be done is your prep and everything else. But we do guarantee that work for, you know, a set amount of time that we can go over with that customer. So,
all right. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to go to break. We're going to come back. We're going to make sure we get all your contact information when we get back from break, and make sure people know that if they have any issues with any critters, they want to call Rove Pest Control. Right.
And if you've got issues with getting water away from your house, away from your foundation, you probably have bad gutters, no gutters, or leaking gutters, or falling off gutters, and we've got a solution.
Get your mind out of the gutter, Chuck.
In Christian's Gutters. Welcome back, everybody. Appreciate you being with us. We want to remind you that we're going to talk to Rove Pest Control a little bit more as we close out the show. But speaking of healthy and clean.
Yes.
When is clean clean?
When is clean clean? After you have a professional cleaning company.
You and I learned the difference this week.
Did we ever when we visited Chet's Cleaning in Madison Heights, Chuck? What a great company.
Honest to goodness. Family owned. I mean, listening to dad and mom and then their son. I mean, you get chills listening to these people because they care so much and they do it right.
And you know what? If someone has what we've been talking about, infestation, once they call Rove Pest Control in, the next call should be to someone like Chet's Cleaning because they have different levels what they can do to your house. And check out chetscleaning.com. You can also find them at theinsideoutsideguys.com.
Cool. Right now we've got Rob Greer and JB Hines from Rove Pest Control with us. And guys, we've already talked our way through 2 hours, but how big an area do you cover? How soon should people call you if they think they have a problem? How do they get hold of you? Go ahead.
Oh, we cover a pretty big area here in the Metro Detroit area. I've got clients all the way up in Washington, and all the way down to, south of, I can't even think. But yeah, I'm everywhere.
Taylor, Monroe,
Ypsilanti, Powell, Brighton, pretty much anywhere. If it's too far, I'll let you know when you call me. But we definitely cover a big area. So,
JB, are most people, if there's a home visit, are they going to see you and meet you?
Usually, if they want an inspection done because they're not quite sure what they're seeing or what they're having, then yeah, it's usually going to be me. So, you get to see the face, just not the voice. So.
Will you do apartments?
Yes, I will do apartments. I would love to do apartments. Actually, I have 4 or 5 apartment complexes that we take care of here in the Detroit area for a management company. So if I have any management companies out there, reach out. I can help you out too. So.
And I'm sure you guys have tons of references. We took this whole show to talk about these pests, and we talked about health. We want to make sure people listen to this show because this has to do with your health. It has to do with your family's health and your quality of life. And both you guys, just thank you both for giving such great information to our listeners.
Okay.
And taking care of our listeners over the years, because every time, and I mean every time, we refer Rove Pest Control, people are happy. The phone number is 248-671-6696. The website is rovepestcontrol.com. And if you don't have a pen, you're driving somewhere, just go to theinsideoutsideguys.com and find the information there. Rob Greer, JB Hines, thank you so much again for taking such great care of our listeners over the years. We depend on you guys.
Hey, thank you, guys.
Thank you, Chuck.
Thank you, Chuck. Thank you, Ken. I'll talk to you guys soon. Hopefully I can get you out there and you guys can help me move some heaters around and kill some bed bugs with me.
No, I don't think so. But God bless your passion. We love listening to you guys and talking with you. You guys are so passionate about this. I think it's really cool.
It is. It is. So here's to a good year, guys. Thank you so much for coming in with us today. We greatly appreciate it.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thanks, guys. We'll see you later. Thank you.
Bye-bye. I mean, who do you want handling your pest problem but somebody that is so – I mean, what JB said – Carpenter Ants. I love them. They are so cool.
Who loves Carpenter Ants? Who loves Carpenter Ants out there? Listen, what you guys are just listening to, you the listeners, the last 2 hours, is the reason Chuck and I started this show. Hopefully the passion that you heard Rob and JB talk about, you hear from Chuck and I every Saturday and Sunday morning because we are passionate about housing and keeping you safe and comfortable in your homes. And we want you to take advantage of us. Who says that? TheInsideOutsideGuys.com. We answer. I bet we're up to 20 to 30 emails a day.
We did 15 this morning already.
We did. Oh, and we're not even close to caught up.
No.
And let's talk about that for a second. Chuck and I answer every one of your emails personally. Unfortunately, every once in a while, one might get by us. Every once in a while, you, shame on you, listener, don't put down your right return address.
Or you don't put the area if we're referring somebody to you.
Those questions that we ask when you fill that out are so important because a lot of people don't want to put the city. Well, that city will let us know what professional we need to send to you.
And we don't share that information. We don't give it away. We don't sell it. We don't accumulate it for later sale. I mean,
we're not that talented.
No, we're not. We couldn't if we wanted.
No, we're not. And understand, there's nowhere else around that you can get this. You go to a national internet site and patch in roofers. You can get roofers from anywhere that site has never even met, talked to in any personal way. Last week, we went to Chet's Clean. They showed us how great a company they were. They have a reputation that Chuck and I have heard about for years.
Yeah.
And we finally hooked up. And now we have another great team partner to help our listeners. That's why you and I started the show, buddy.
Good point. I love it. And I do. What a treat for us and hopefully the listener to listen to guys like Rob and JB.
And then and here's one thing that we tell our – when we go and we sit down with guys like Rob and JB and Chet's Cleaning – one thing Chuck and I can say is we have this show, but we've also been on your side of the table. We've been in the performance side of the table, of the service side of the table. I've spent my career sitting down with thousands of homeowners.
Yeah,
thousands.
And we've been homeowners for decades. So, I mean, both sides.
That's why the Inside Outside Guys needs to be your one-stop source for any and all of your housing needs here in Southeast Michigan. We are here for you 24/7 at theinsideoutsideguys.com. Chuck, we have a lot of stuff. Spring has just sprung, and we're going to be just like we were at CNL Ward yesterday. We are going to be at a lot of places around Southeast Michigan coming up in the next couple of months, and we'll make sure we keep everybody in tune to where we're going to be.
Yeah, and it's funny, another question we get, you must get free services from these companies. We do not.
No.
We will not take them if they are even offered. It's just not part of what we do, and we never want to be beholden to somebody for that reason.
And that's a fair question.
Yeah, it
we is also a fair get question. This question. Yes. Are your people on your website paid advertisers, or do you just refer them? And here's the honest answer with that. If they're on our website, they are a paid advertiser team partner. However, if someone ever did an audit of our emails, they would see more than half the companies that you and I refer are not team partners of the Inside Outside Guys. Even